Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to church as we keep working our way through the book of Amos. My name's Albie. If I haven't met you before, I'm the minister here at Grace. And it'd be great if you actually have your Bibles open at Amos chapter 8 as we work our way through that chapter. And also, if you're taking notes, just to jot down any questions as they come up. It's great to be able to interact with the Word of God. Why don't we pray as we take a look at Amos 8. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time that you've given us to come together as your people and to read your word. And we thank you, Lord, that your word is living and active. And we ask that this morning your word will do its work in our hearts and in our lives. Father, the message here is not always what we want to hear, but it is what we need to hear. And so, Father, we commit this time and ourselves into your hands and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me start off by asking, how do you face the end? You know, we sort of had in the discussion question the fact that our world is often caught up with how is the world going to end, but how do you face the end? To some extent, it depends on what the end is that we're talking about. I remember when I was back in university, at the end of 4 years of studies, it was the final exam. It was finally here. And that afternoon, after the exam, our entire year group went out, and we actually went out to the Hard Rock Cafe to celebrate. Looking back, it wasn't a particularly exciting thing that we did. I'm sure there's other ways that we could have actually celebrated with more gusto. I know that some people, when they finish the HSC, they go out and burn their notes. They create a bonfire, a fire hazard, but that's one way to face the end of the HSC. The end of something that is hard or unpleasant, the way that you face that is that you celebrate. You do something exciting. But how do you face the end when it's the end of something which is good? It's actually the end of something that you're not looking forward to. It could be the end of a holiday. You've been away for 3 weeks and you're facing going back to work. It could be the end of a relationship. Whether it's a friendship or a marriage, you might be facing the end of health and you realize that things are not working the way that they should be, that you want them to be. You might be facing the end of life. See, when it comes to facing the end of something unpleasant, I think we're great at that. We come up with all sorts of ways. But when it comes to the end of something good, then we're not so good at that. It's hard for us to face up to it. There's a few ways that we do that. We get angry. And we say, it's not fair. Why is this happening? Why is this happening to me? Or I think the common way, when something good is ending, the most common response is denial. We bury our head in the sand. We pretend it's not going to happen. It's a different reality. No matter how much it goes against the facts of the case, we refuse to believe it, no matter how inevitable it is. But facing up to the end, whether it's the end of life or it's the end of this world, is there another way? Is there another way to respond, to face up to it, that takes seriously the end and what it's like, but at the same time it gives us hope? Well, Amos chapter 8 actually forces us to wrestle with that. I don't know if you felt it. As Amos chapter 8 was being read out, this is a heavy chapter, isn't it? Actually, all the way through the book of Amos, it's been a heavy book. So if you're joining with us this morning, I was going to say apologies for that, but this is the Word of God, and so it wouldn't be right to apologize for that. But just to prepare you, we are entering where the book of Amos, all the way through, it's been a message of judgment. And I hope that does weigh heavily at us. In chapter 1, we saw that. We had the picture of God being like a great lion, roaring out death and destruction on the northern kingdom of Israel. And despite the warnings all the way through Amos, Israel refuses to listen. And so we saw last week, as Joseph preached to us, we saw in chapter 7, there were three visions of judgment. Hopefully you remember that from last week. There were the swarms of locusts that were coming through and stripping the land of all food. There was a second vision, the vision of fire that was so intense that it dried up the sea and it devoured the land. And the third vision was that vision of the plumb line, where Israel is like a wall that is out of plumb is off center, it's off kilter. And the only thing that wall that Israel is good for is to be knocked down and demolished. It's like when you're watching those cheesy action movies. And the hero in that movie, maybe he's been tied up. Usually it's the damsel in distress. She's been tied up with a rope. And she's dangling from the ceiling above a pit of certain death. And the bad guy that has put her there has put this candle underneath the rope. And that fire is slowly burning through the rope. And one by one, the strands of that rope begin to snap. And certain death gets closer and closer and closer. That's what's going on here in these visions in chapter 7. Judgment gets closer and closer until Israel is dangling, hanging by just a thread. And then we come to vision number 4, which is actually on the tail end of these visions. Chapter 8, verse 1. Let me read it out. This is what the Sovereign Lord showed me, a basket of ripe fruit. What do you see, Amos? He asked. A basket of ripe fruit, I answered. Looks pretty harmless. Amos obviously can see correctly. He identifies what's there. There's no plague of locusts here. There's no consuming fire. It's a bowl of fruit, probably figs or grapes. It looks harmless. But here is the meaning. God says, what do you see? A basket of ripe fruit. Then the Lord said to me, the time is ripe for my people Israel. I will spare them no longer. The word for ripe fruit there is more literally in the original language. It's more literally summer fruit. And there's a pun happening here in the original language that the translators try to capture, but it's not quite as sharp as it is in the original. The word for summer fruits is kates. And it sounds very similar to the word for end, which is kates. The Lord said, what do you see, Amos? A basket of kates. Well, the kates has come. The end has come for my people Israel. The NIV has tried to capture that. They've done a decent job of that, where they say that the fruit is ripe. The time is ripe for harvest. Going back to that action movie, the last thread of that rope, it's finally snapped and darkened the earth in broad daylight. The heavens and the earth themselves will be shaken. It'll be time of mourning, like a funeral. Amos says, I will turn your religious feasts, those times of great religiosity, the times of coming together of joy, into mourning, and your singing into weeping. You'll exchange your clothes for sackcloth and shave your heads. I will make that time like mourning for an only son, and the end of it like a bitter day. It'll be like a funeral, where there's no joy or singing, just weeping and bitterness and despair. There will be a famine in verse 11, but not a famine of food, not an ordinary famine, as bad as that would be. The days are coming, declares the Sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land. Not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Men will stagger from sea to sea and wander from north to east, desperate, searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. Israel didn't want the word of God. They didn't want the word of God to change their lives, to challenge their lives, and so God gave them what they wanted. The word of God, he took it away. And when God's word is gone, all of a sudden they realize that God's word is life. God's word is hope, and they go searching for it all over the place, as far as the land can travel. But it's too late. that last strand of the rope, it has snapped. That the chance to hear God's word and to have life, that chance is gone. See, if you understand these words, don't be so confident that there will always be time to hear God's word. Don't think to yourself, oh, I can always make up my mind later. There's always another time when I can respond to Jesus. There comes a time when it's too late, that there is no more chance. But maybe you're a Christian and the reminder here is to make sure that you are eating well. How many of us have the words of God and yet, you know, we're starving? We might not realize that, or we fill our lives with junk food. You know, we have this self-imposed famine. We bring a bit of this judgment upon ourselves. That we've got the Bible. It's the word of God. It's how God speaks to us. And there it is, just gathering dust on the bookshelf. The word of God has no part in our lives. Are you reading it? Or are you starving yourself? And as God continues to show us what this judgment looks like in verse 13, the people discover that their trust is in the wrong place. They were so confident about themselves. The gods that they made up for themselves, the worship that was their own version that made them feel comfortable and safe, that worship that was in Samaria or Dan or Beersheba, it does not save. When God's judgment comes, it is empty. And so verse 14, they will fall, never to rise again. I hope we can feel the weight of this judgment. It is a heavy chapter. Actually, if you look at chapters 7 and 8, four visions here showing the judgment of God, and the people are hanging by a rope. And here in chapter 8, the last thread of that rope has snapped. The end has come. In the words of Amos, they happen. These words come true. Historically, in 722 BC, just a couple of decades after Amos says these words, the armies of Assyria sweep down through the land and utterly destroy the nation of Israel. And there is weeping and mourning. Bodies flung everywhere. You know, we prayed earlier for Syria. You know, those images of Syria that we get a very censored version in the news, but when you sometimes see those images and all this graphic detail, and you see bodies lying there after an explosion, and it shocks us to see that handful of bodies. But to see the hundreds and thousands massacred, this is devastating. These are not empty words that God gives us, because whenever God speaks to us, it is never empty. These words come true. But these words, in a bigger sense, they're actually written not just for Israel. They're actually written for us. For us here today in comfortable Roseville, 2017, because the picture of Israel is actually a picture of the world. You know, we see that in the Old Testament. The Old Testament images shows us what God's kingdom is like in the New Testament. Just as Israel would come to an end, the world will come to an end. And just as Israel is judged, the world and everything in it, everyone in it, will be judged. There are a couple of differences. There are a couple of differences between what we see in the Old Testament and what we see for us. Actually, as we go from the Old Testament, and we've been working our way through Amos, hopefully you've been seeing this pattern. As we go from the Old Testament to the New Testament and to us, the stakes actually get raised. It gets taken up a notch, taken up a level. The first difference is this. The dangers are even greater. The dangers for us are greater because we have the word of God in a way which is far greater than the word of God that was given to Amos and to Israel. We have the living word of God, Jesus Christ himself. We have God in the flesh. We have God's word in the flesh. And if we reject the word of God, how serious is that rejection? that we are cutting ourselves off from the only source of life that there is. It is devastating. Hebrews chapter 10 tells us, if we trample the Son of God underfoot, what sacrifice is there? To turn your backs on the living Word of God, there is no coming back. And if Amos could warn Israel that they were even more accountable because they had the knowledge of God, because they had the privilege of knowing God and what He's like, if Israel was accountable because of their knowledge, how much more is that true for us? For us who have the perfect revelation of God in His Son. The dangers are greater for us. But here's the second difference, and it is a wonderful difference. It was too late for the nation of Israel. It was too late. But it is not too late for us. Because actually there's another day. Another day where Amos chapter 8 comes true. A day that is far down the track from when Israel was destroyed by Assyria. A day when the land trembled and the earth shook. A day when the sun went down at noon and darkened the earth in broad daylight. A day when there was mourning for an only son. When Jesus died to take that judgment for us. Amos 8 is a picture of what happens with Jesus on the cross. When the roar of God's judgment that we so richly deserve, it's poured out, not on us, but poured out and spent in the body of God's Son. And if we place our lives in His hands and we give up our independence and our self-centeredness and we give Jesus everything, it doesn't end in judgment. We have a future, a wonderful future, as the children of God. And so take hold of that future. We see in Amos chapter 8 that weighty message that actually for us points us to the cross, where that weight is taken by Jesus. Take hold of that future. This morning, if you're a Christian, take hold of it again. Because there is a day when it's too late. It doesn't mean that you're, you know, just saved once. I became a Christian in the past and so I can just leave it there and it's okay. No, actually being a Christian is an ongoing relationship with God because of Jesus. And maybe as we look at Amos chapter 8, maybe we have grown complacent. Maybe God and church and God's word is, you know, it's something that we're bored of. It's become a chore. If that's you, come back to Jesus. Come back to the cross. Realize what it is that we are saved from. Maybe God is stirring your hearts to say, don't stay where you are. Where is it that God wants you to be going to as a Christian? Maybe you've been stuck. Let me finish off by asking this question that we asked at the beginning. Have you faced up to the end? Have you looked at it squarely in the face and to realize where this world is heading? Are you living in this world as if, you know, you're in denial? You're living as if this world and everything in it is going to exist forever. And so we buried our heads in the sand and we're accumulating wealth now. And actually life is all about the here and now and what I can get out of it. Or have we faced up to the end? That we put our trust in Jesus. And as we face that end, if we have put our trust in Jesus, we do that with confidence. We do that with joy. We face the end with excitement. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask that you would move our hearts. Father, judgment is a heavy topic. But we thank you, Lord, that as we come to wrestle with that, help us to actually understand that it is a very real thing. And Father, because of that, help us to admire the cross even more, that we might truly realize the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that He would come to take that judgment which we so richly deserve. And Father, in coming to Jesus, we pray, Lord, that that'll shape our hope for the future. Help us to realize that this is not the end for us. It does not end in judgment, but it ends in hope. It ends